From NPR News, it's Day to Day.
As the Israelis move more armor into position,
no more war.
To live together beside the
But final agreement for
the children.
40 years ago today, the United Nations Security Council adopted one of the most important resolutions in its history. Resolution 242, passed on November 22, 1967, it was a response to the Arab-Israeli War the previous June. That conflict, the Six-Day War, ended with Israel occupying territories it won from Egypt, Syria, and Jordan. Resolution 242 has come to embody the principles of any comprehensive peace settlement in the Middle East. And NPR's Mike Schuster is here now. He's been looking over the history of this resolution. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Well, what exactly does this resolution say?
In simple terms, Israel must withdraw from Arab territories it seized in the Six-Day War. In exchange, the Arabs will recognize Israel and end their state of war with it. Land for peace.
The famous land for peace.
Yeah.
So it sounds deceptively simple, and of course we know there's nothing simple about this resolution.
No, there's not. And that's because there are certain complexities buried within this simple language, and there are things left out that give rise to various interpretations. The line calling for Israeli withdrawal from territories occupied in the recent conflict, this was the result of months of negotiation with the members of the Security Council and with the parties to the conflict. It doesn't say all territories or the territories, just territories, and there's a reason for this. Neither Israel nor the U.S. nor Britain would accept a resolution demanding that Israel return to precisely those borders that existed before the outbreak of war the previous June. There was a view among the U.S., Israel, and Britain that there could be a negotiated adjustment of those borders. The Arab states initially rejected the resolution. Eventually, they accepted it. And they've been arguing ever since that withdrawal from territories means return to the pre-June 1967 borders. Israel, in the meantime, as we all know, has expanded into Jerusalem and the West Bank. So realistically, the borders will inevitably have to be adjusted in any final peace agreement with the Palestinians.
Okay, so that's a lot in the agreement. What was left out?
What was left out was how to implement the formula land for peace. The Arab states initially insisted that Israel withdraw from the territories before Arab belligerency would end. Israel wanted it the other way around. First a peace treaty, then withdrawal. One other thing that was left out was the Palestinians. Negotiators in 1967 viewed this resolution 242 as a means of ending the conflict between Israel and the Arab states. The territories seized by Israel were seen as territories seized from other states, Sinai and Gaza from Egypt, the Golan from Syria, the West Bank and East Jerusalem from Jordan. The only reference to the Palestinians was an oblique one, the call for a just settlement of the refugee problem, meaning the Palestinian refugees.
NPR diplomatic correspondent Mike Schuster. And stick around. We'll continue this discussion in a few minutes. First, though, the thoughts of two academics who've written about this resolution, one a Palestinian and one Israeli.
Several years ago, I was meeting with a delegation of American clergymen, and they wanted to hear about 242.
Michael Oren wrote the book Six Days of War. He spoke to us by phone from Israel.
So just out of curiosity, I asked them, okay, what is in Resolution 242? And someone raised their hands and said, well, Israel's supposed to return to the 67 borders. Another person raises their hand and says, Arab states have to make peace with Israel. And then finally, another member of the clergy stood up and said that the 242 calls for the creation of a Palestinian state. And I said, that's very interesting. These are all important points. There's only one problem. None of them are in Resolution 242. Nowhere in the 242 does it call on the Arab states to recognize and make peace with Israel. Nowhere. It simply calls for every state in the region to make peace with other states and to recognize their sovereignty and territorial integrity. But some of the Arab states who accepted the resolution said, well, we can accept the resolution because we don't recognize Israel as a state, so we don't have to recognize it. And there's so much ambiguity built in there.
Insofar as the Palestinian and Israeli parts, there are many things that it doesn't make clear. It talks about a just solution of the refugee problem. What does that mean?
Rashid Khalidi, author of the book The Iron Cage, The Story of the Palestinian Struggle for Statehood.
And it does not talk about other things at all. I mean, should there be Palestinian self-determination under what conditions? It is still valid, but clearly it does not go far enough. For example, the General Assembly passed a resolution which called for Palestinian refugees to be able to return to their homes and to get compensation. This resolution talks about a just solution of the refugee problem, but it does not specifically refer to that Resolution 194 of 1948. It's at best part of the solution, but certainly not all of it. It can't be the basis for everything.
That's Rashid Khalidi. He's director of the Middle East Institute at Columbia University. And we also heard from Michael Oren. He's senior fellow at the Shalom Center in Jerusalem. Back now with NPR's diplomatic correspondent, Mike Schuster. And Mike, things have changed enormously in the Middle East in the last 40 years. So does Resolution 242 have any relevance anymore?
Well, as a specific guideline to peace, I think events have certainly overtaken it. But events and the diplomatic process have really built on it. The concept of land for peace has been at the core of all efforts to end the Arab-Israeli and the Palestinian-Israeli conflict over the years. It was there at Camp David, for instance, in 2000, especially when both sides, the Palestinians and the Israelis, pulled out their maps and started arguing about territories and borders. And it will certainly be there implicitly next week when the Bush administration convenes its peace conference in Annapolis.
NPR's Mike Schuster, thank you.
You're welcome.
Clarified the Iranian position regarding the nuclear issue.
And he said the workers are anxious to get their hands on that agreement. And
the suicide bomber wearing a vest, you know, layered with explosives.
Investigate and prosecute crimes within polygamous communities, mostly involving child abuse, incest, and fraud.
When news breaks, day-to-day keeps you informed. Download our daily podcast at npr.org/day-to-day.